the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEN.
We welcome you to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEM. I'm your host, Jacob Fessmeyer. Joining me is my co-host, Ian Stevens. Now, we're going to start off this evening's show with Coach Ballard. So we're going to discuss his team, or reviewing his team's thrilling victory on Saturday over Yorktown, plus two games this week against Muncie Central, against the Muncie Central Bearcats, a sectional rival, and against a top-ranked Fisher's Tigers team. And then Coach Cook will join us right after, talk about his girls' performance in their round, in their first round and semifinal matchups, plus a preview of tomorrow's sectional championship against Mount Vernon. And then Ian and I capping off the show, going over the wrestling regionals that took place here at the high school over the weekend, and our side of Lady Ravens in the sectionals, plus potential regional matchups. So Coach Cook joining us just right now. So Coach, first off, hey, thank you for joining us.
Oh, I appreciate you guys having me, man. I love spending time with Jacob and Ian.
So to start off, hey, Josiah Augustine got the game started with a wide-open three-ball on the left wing to get those first 3 points of the game. And the Ravens and the Tigers both played solid to open up the game, scoring 15 apiece to close out that first quarter. But what did you see from the competitiveness in both teams to start off that game?
Honestly, I thought we started a little flat. It was great to see Joe knock that shot down, but I thought we missed a lot of opportunities early in that game for easy baskets, offensive rebounds that we needed to get. And they put one of those back in. But, it's a Saturday afternoon game. We don't have a lot of experience doing that, and so it's a little bit different challenge. And coming off of not being in school for 3 days and a different kind of schedule, but I think, you know, moving forward, we really got to be tough enough mentally, be locked in mentally as soon as the game starts. That's what we were just talking about in my classroom at the end of practice is, tomorrow night we got to be ready right from the jump. You know, we can't be waiting 2 minutes or 4 minutes or 8 minutes to be like, oh, hey, we're playing basketball today. Like, we got to be ready right when we get on the floor.
So now on to that second quarter, the Ravens started to play more aggressively on defense, ripping and poking the ball out of Yorktown's hands. And Eric Cookston Steele converted to a Caden Sims three-pointer, start off the second quarter, followed by a deep shot and score from Jamison Dunham, give the Ravens momentum for the rest of the half. Dunham did great in this quarter, and also for the rest of the game as well. Hit a couple from deep, played great defense, and he also set up fast breaks. Jamison also got a double-double for this game with his team leading 23 points, along with 10 boards, as more players on the offense were getting involved and sticking points on the board. But what did you see from the effort in this team that they had in this first half?
Well, you know, I thought you hit the nail on the head with Aaron setting up a three, you know, with his defense. And that's really kind of in the second half what we did is we allowed our defensive intensity, our detail to create easy opportunities for us offensively. And when you get that momentum going, the basket seems to get a little bit bigger. And so that's what we've got to, you know, like we've talked all year, we've really got to hang our hat on that end of the floor. We've got to be committed to doing it for 32 minutes every night, because we're starting to see when we are really locked in defensively just how many points we can put on the board. And I can't remember the second part of your question. I'm sorry.
Oh, what did you see from the effort this team had in the first half?
Oh, you know, we closed the half with fantastic effort. Cooksey kind of got it started there with that deflection and getting on the floor, and that kind of gets guys riled up and, like I said, makes the basket a little bit bigger. But that's what we're counting on with especially our sophomores is that intensity, that fire that really kind of fuels everybody else. And so we need more and more of that. We've got to have that kind of attitude, that kind of effort all the time.
But for Jamison Dunham, really hope your team get your offense going. Had a big three there in that third quarter and able to create an offense as well as defense. He finished with 23 points. But another player to mention was Josiah Augustine. As we were talking earlier, he got the game started with a big three ball, but he finished with 22 points as well as reeling in 7 rebounds. So what did you just see out of the combo right there between Dunham and Augustine?
Well, it's great over not just Saturday, but over the past, 2, 3, even 4 weeks, we're seeing – a a lot more assertiveness with Josiah, looking to get to the basket more, looking to shoot it a little bit more. And that's what we need. And that takes some pressure off Jameson. That makes his life a little bit easier. You know, Jameson's going to make shots. I mean, that's who he is. That's what he does. And so, not that we take that for granted, but what we need is we need those other guys to get going so that Jameson has more of those opportunities. You know, Ethan Ross only had 7 points, but I thought Ethan played as good of a game as he's played all year. You know, he's often asked to go guard the other team's best player. This game was no different with A.J. Dunn. But Ethan had some huge deflections, some huge rebounds, some really key baskets at big moments that I thought he deserves a lot more credit than what the stat sheet probably gives him in that game.
But just talking about Ethan Ross right there, he had a shot inside the paint in the last 30 seconds, put your team up by two, Yorktown out of timeouts, they threw the ball in, stolen by Josiah Gustin, and able to get fouled and go to the line for two, and where you guys won there and sealed the deal 65-61. But what was it like winning a thriller on the road in a conference play?
Well, I thought Ethan's bucket tied it. I may have to go back and look at that, but I thought Ethan's basket tied it, and then Joe made a an extremely heady play, kind of baiting the inbounder into that steal, and he snagged it out of the air. And before we knew it, we were back up. You know, we had gone from being down two to back up two in a matter of 10 seconds, and so that was huge. That's kind of what I was referring to with Ethan. Is that was a big time finish at a big moment, and you know, anytime you get a win on the road, it's great. Anytime you get a conference win on the road, it's even better. And so it was a great. Great feeling for our kids, a great feeling to come back with a win. It makes that bus ride a lot more enjoyable, makes that Saturday evening a lot more enjoyable. But we've got to refocus and move on to Muncie Central.
Now, Yorktown did give Piddle Knights a run for their money in this game, 4 different lead changes as well as 7 ties in this game. But how good is it for the Ravens to get challenges like that to wrap up the regular season as well as with sectionals next month?
Well, you know, the thing for me is, you know, going into that game, we're 4-12. I think we're sitting at 5-12 now. And the 4 games that we'd won, we felt like we played really, really well. And, you know, maybe outside of that first half against Greenfield, we felt we played really well in all those games that we won. And then at Yorktown, I felt like we played well in stretches, but I thought there were also stretches that we didn't play very well at all. And so for me as a coach, it was great to get a win when I didn't feel like we'd played great, but we figured out a way to gut it out. And no disrespect to Yorktown in any way, shape, or form, but I felt like that was a game. You know, we're up 12 at one point. I really felt like there was an opportunity to extend that lead, and we kind of just – I don't want to say quit, because that's not the right word. We didn't continue to bring that energy and that intensity that you have to take a 12-point game to a 20-point game and really put it out of reach. So it was great for me as a coach to see us not shoot the ball at a real high percentage from three. I think we were 37%. So it's not like, you know, against Frankton, I think we were like 10 of 12 from three. Like, that's never going to happen, right? To shoot fewer free throws than Yorktown, to shoot a lower percentage from three, to not win the battle of the boards, but then to figure out a way to get a win. For me, that's a huge thing, because that means our kids are learning how to win maybe when the ball doesn't bounce our way. And I've always thought that you've got to be a team that can win when the ball doesn't bounce your way. So I know that's a really long-winded answer, and I apologize, but that's my biggest takeaway, is that we didn't play our best game, and we still figured out a way to finish it and to get that win.
Now, that will do it for the Yorktown recap, but when we come back, Coach Ballard will stay with us to talk this week's key games against, of course, sectional rival number 3 in the state of Indiana, the Fisher Tigers, on Friday. You're listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM. located in Pendleton at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com. Are you looking to expand your client base? Needing to have more people know about your business? Consider becoming an underwriter for 91.7 WEEM. Your sponsorship helps the student broadcasters of Pendleton Heights gain valuable skills and experience. WEEM has a rich tradition of community involvement that wouldn't happen without the support of our underwriters. More information is available from Christian Ruggles at 765-778-2161, extension 6095, or at cruggles@smcsc.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEEM.
We welcome you back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 917 WEEM. Coach Ballard is back with us once again, so let's talk about tomorrow night's game. Now, the Muncie Central Bearcats are 3-11 this season, with two of those wins coming off their first two games of the season. One of those wins coming from the 14-3 Wapahani Raiders, and the other win at the end of last month against Muncie Burris in their own home tournament. And the Bearcats continue to look and correct themselves after they went winless 0-21 last season. But in your eyes, what are a few things to point out about this Bearcats squad?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think you can ever look at the other team's record and say, oh, well, you know, these guys have only won three games or only won five games, and then, you know, we're just going to be able to go over there and do it. I think that is a really good way to set yourself up to get your butt kicked. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing. That's kind of our mentality, is we got to go play. And they're very athletic. They play a lot of guys, so they're kind of hard to scout. They're kind of hard to prepare for because they've got an 11-man rotation. And so there's a lot of information, a lot of things to try and wrap your mind around. But, you know, on the other side of that is a lot of their players do a lot of similar things, okay? So they're a very dribble-drive-oriented team. It's going to be really important for us to be able to move our feet and stay in front, have early help, not get into where we're having to, you know, help at the basket, but help before the ball gets to the paint. But they love to run, very athletic, very fast. They got a couple guys that they can shoot it. They're very streaky. There's games that they've shot a really low percentage. There's also been games that I've seen them hit seven threes in a row as a team. And so they're a North Central Conference school. They're a sectional school. You know, there's nothing that can be taken for granted. We got to be focused. We've got to be locked in on controlling what we can control, and go over there and make a winning effort, a committed winning effort.
So now looking at this Bearcats roster, in one of their last games against Greenfield Central, Muncie Central was starting to kick it into overdrive when it comes to locking down on defense, also trying to get steals. Malik Hassani is one of those names to throw in, as he had a few forced turnovers in that ball game. And he's one of those players that takes advantage going after loose balls, bad passes, and just being able to track down that ball. And the Bearcats had 10 steals in that game, along with Daniel Harris and Timothy Arnold Jr. chipping in a couple as well. But what will it take to limit turnovers on a Muncie Central team that's trying to light up a little bit on defense?
Well, Hassani's really good, and he's, in my opinion, I think he's their best player. They really like to pressure defensively. They want to get into you, make you uncomfortable, and get deflections, get steals that let them get out and run. And they want to play up and down. They want to play fast. And so we've got to do a great job taking care of the ball, handling that pressure, not allowing ourselves to get back on our heels and being soft with the basketball. We got to be tough with it. We got to be strong with it. Get great shots, get the ball moving. And, you know, then from a defensive standpoint, we've got to do a great job of being disciplined, of staying on our feet, staying in front, understand the guys that we got to get out on, understanding the guys that we can kind of stay back a little bit. And so at this point, you know, it really comes down to focus, to mentality. You know, we got a quick turnaround here. There's not a whole lot of, you know, reps you can get in one day to try and simulate all the different things they're going to do. You got to be able to look at some film. You got to be able to look at some scouting things and focus and go get it done.
Daniel Harris, one of the leading scorers for the Bearcats, shooting 42% from the floor as well as 36% from downtown. But he's a player. He finds a lot of his time beyond the arc and does well when it comes down to pressure. But what's it going to take defensively to really be able to lock down on Harris?
Well, you gotta limit the easy looks that he gets. You gotta make sure everything he gets is contested, because he can score it. He can shoot it, but he's probably a little bit better off the dribble, pulling up in that mid-range area, getting to the rack a little bit, and He's a smart player, so you got to make sure that you're not falling for some of his fakes, falling for some things where then he can back catch you and things like that. So it comes down to being detail-oriented and being focused every time we're on defense and getting a stop.
And then you'll see Fishers Friday night at home. But once again, a top team in the state, number 3, coming in at 15-2 this season with their second-year head coach, Garrett Winiger. But Fishers, one of the most productive teams when it comes to offense as well as defense. But how is your team preparing for a team like that, of that caliber?
Well, we're not preparing at all for them right now. We're totally focused on Muncie Central. We'll get to that on tomorrow night after we get home. But to answer your question, you know, they've got guys that are really good players, and Garrett does a really good job with those guys. And, you know, Harrelson is probably two or three years from now, I believe he is a freshman, so 3 years from now, he's going to be in the conversation of Mr. Basketball. Jeffrey Simmons is a great player, really good basketball player that's a Division I football player. He's going to go play tight end at Miami of Ohio. And then they got a lot of guys around them that just play their roles really well, whether that is to make open shots, to feed the guys that need the ball. Defensively, they get after it. They get up into you, and you know you can't survive in that conference, in that county, in that sectional, if you're not really tough and really good defensively. And you know, I think Carmel kind of sets that standard, and you know, Westfield and Fishers and HSE, you know, and Noblesville are all trying to play catch up to the best program in the state. And so when you're trying to do that, you're going to be really good. And that's really where Fishers is at right now. I know that, I think you said they're ranked number 3. But, you know, you look at them and you could very easily make a case they're the best team in the state.
So now Fishers' last scheduled game against Westfield was postponed, of course, due to that inclement weather, that winter weather that rolled through the state of Indiana last week. But their other latest game against Franklin Central pretty much sums up their season, just showing dominance on the court. Now, the Tigers defeated the Flashes 73-45, and just like Muncie Central, Fishers had a great showing when it came to forcing turnovers, as they had 3 in the first quarter, one of them at the start of the game from Jalen Harrelson, and another one from Aiden Zimmer on an inbound pass to wrap up that quarter. But how important will it be to protect the ball and make smart choices against a Fishers team that plays aggressive and smart all around the court?
Oh, I mean, in some ways, that'll determine the game. You know, when you give teams easy buckets and easy opportunities with live ball turnovers, then it's really difficult to have success. And like I said, they're one of the best teams in the area at that. And so ball security and, you know, finishing around the basket, getting great shots, those are going to be huge factors in the game.
So Franklin Central continued to have trouble getting plays on offense, as Fishers was just locking down on defense. The Tigers excelled on knocking down shots from the trifecta, as Sean Millsaps drained one right from the right corner to start out the second quarter, and Charlie Smith hit one from that same spot later in the quarter. Now Fishers shoots 38% from 3, as Sean Millsaps is one of their three-point kings, as he shoots 48% from behind the arc. But what will the goal be in slowing up the efficiency from shooting from not only behind the arc, but also in the paint?
Well, first of all, you got to try and keep it out of the paint. You know, whether that's fronting the post or keeping your hips in front of your guy, and whenever somebody does get beat, our other 4 guys having his back and getting that help before it gets to the paint. And when you keep it out of the paint, it makes everything a lot easier in terms of you're not recovering as far, you're not having to find guys like you would when you got to really go help. And then, you know, on the perimeter, They're a good team. They got good players, so they're going to make some shots, but you got to try and make every shot a contested shot. You can't give them horse shots or, you know, I call standing in the corner like you're at the county fair. You know, you play that basketball game where you stand there and shoot, and that's what we have to avoid. We got to make them work for everything, and if we focus and you know, lock in and control the things that we can control, we'll put ourselves in a position that we can be proud of where we're at, win or lose. And I just want to see us go compete. I want to see us go get after them and walk into that game not saying, hey, we don't care what your jersey says, we don't care what your rank is, we don't care if you got guys going here, going there. We're going to come in, we're going to hit you in the mouth and see what you can do.
Now that will do it for Coach Ballard in tonight's show. Coach, once again, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Yep, you guys too. Thanks a lot. Go Arabians tomorrow night. Good luck to the girls.
But when we come back, Lady Arabians varsity basketball head coach Chad Cook will join Ian and I on the mic as we talk about, or as we review the girls' two sectional games this past week. Also talking about the upcoming sectional championship tomorrow night against Mount Vernon. Listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.
Hey, Gary, you know how we like to say that high school sports are the purest form of amateur sports?
Pure spirit, pure sport. That's Indiana High School Athletics.
Well, I learned something the other day that further proves that.
I'm interested. Tell me more, Chris.
Well, we all know what amateur means, but do you know the root of its meaning? It means for the love of.
Wow, you're right. That really does reinforce the idea that high school sports are the purest form of sport.
Fans, I'm IHSA Assistant Commissioner Chris Kaufman.
And I'm Assistant Commissioner Carrie Rosati.
If you want to watch sports in their purest form, get a ticket and go support your high school sports teams.
Everyone there, from the players and coaches to the fans and officials, they're there simply for the love of the game.
Pure spirit.
Pure sport.
This is Pure Spirit. This is Pure Sport. This is your IHSAA.
The Arabian Stable is your place for Pendleton Heights apparel, from shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and more. Find everything you need to show you're an Arabian fan by logging on to www.arabianstable.com. You can also find the link on the high school's website at phhs.smcsc.com or on Ween's website, 917ween.org. Arabians get their gear at the Arabian Stable. Get yours today at www.arabianstable.com. That's www.arabianstable.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 917 WEM. As Coach Cook making his way up here now, just moments away from his interview, but last week, another successful week for the Lady Arabians when it comes to playing on the floor. It's sectional time now, so every game matters. If you win, you move on, and if you lose, your season's over. As you saw, we saw them Wednesday night pick up that win against Richmond, and Saturday night they had that semifinal against the New Pal Lady Dragons, and able to beat New Pal by 20. That's a team they saw in the regular season, and only being able to defeat them by two.
I mean, both teams. I mean, winning against both those teams is pretty good. And, you know, Richmond's younger team this year, half of their lineup was all freshmen. Their season opener against Newcastle was actually an all-freshman lineup. So playing a team like Richmond, they're kind of going through a little bit of a rebuilding year, kind of gaining experience. But they have their veteran head coach, but still a team a little bit quiet on offense, but still all around, they're a pretty solid team defensively. And the Lady Ravens, of course, doing a great job of shutting them out on offense, of course, sending that press up. And playing great on the 2-3 zone defense, and their game against New Pal, yeah. Again, we can both agree that both of their games against New Pal were just nail-biters, just taking jabs at each other back and forth, going back and forth. And the Lady Ravens did a great job in both of those games, just working through foul trouble. We saw Casey Warfel and Morgan Martin pick up two fouls in that first game, or in that second game.
And last week, the schedule was supposed to be if you won on Wednesday, you'd play there Friday night. If you won Friday, you'd play on Saturday. But of course, with the weather that rolled through last week, they had a couple postponements. So they pushed that semifinal game back from Friday night to Saturday night. So that sectional championship game actually going to be tomorrow night at Mount Vernon. So just a couple days, that gives them an extra day of practice. So in some senses, that's a good thing for the Lady Arabians.
Huge win. Another day of practice, another day of watching film, trying to study this Mount Vernon team.
Coach Cook now making his way over here before his big game tomorrow night as Mount Vernon on their home floor in that sectional championship. Well, Coach, thank you for joining us here for the Coach's Show.
Yeah, glad to be here, boys. It's a good chance to talk about some things.
As now, just recapping what we saw last week so far throughout the sectional there in that opening round as well as the semifinals. But two big wins. So what did you see out of your girls in this past week?
Well, you know, here we are this time of the year in the postseason where, you know, you got to win to stay alive and keep practicing and a chance to play another day. And I think the girls' sense of urgency is on point. But, you know, the focus is there. Our chemistry is there. You know, we're playing good basketball right now. So we just wanted to keep that going. we finished the year well. They are going in the right direction, and you know, had a chance to get off to a good start against Richmond, and then, you know, a rip roaring game against New Pal, where you knew that they would be ready to play. We were able to answer that call and get to the championship game.
But your ladies had a phenomenal week, reeling in rebounds and putting in the extra effort, diving after loose balls and picking up steals. So what did you see out of the aggression from your defense?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing here. This time of the year, everybody's going to be playing with heart, and everybody's going to be playing with, you know, everything, you know, to get every loose ball. So, you know, I think we're motivated to win, and those 50-50 ones have to be ours. And every little thing that we can do with effort and energy, we got to be able to produce. And, you know, I think I've instilled that in them, but I think they got it. And they got some intangible things that don't really show up, you know, on the scoreboard. You know, there's, you know, on the stat sheet, I should say, like, there's no measurement for the size of someone's heart. And we've got a good thing going. The girls are playing with a lot of heart right now.
So Haley Brunnemer was one of those players that lit the match in that semifinal win against New Pal. But how has her leadership been throughout this past week?
Yeah, I mean, Haley B's been great. She's done some good things on the defensive side of the things, which it's really helped us there in the top of our 1-3-1. And even when we're in man-to-man, she's rebounding well out of it. You know, when she's playing good on that end, we know we're going to get some good play, you know, on the offensive end. So, you know, senior leader out there, able to dig deep and really pour it on both ends of the floor. You know we're going to get that offensive prowess from her. So when she's getting after it on this other end of the floor, it really makes us a better team. And she's been doing that for us lately. We're excited to see, you know, her move around here in this championship game.
So now that semifinal game was originally set to play on Friday night, but of course due to that winter storm and inclement weather, it pushed it back to Saturday night. Now the sectional championship will be played tomorrow night. But how have you and this team been able to handle that kind of change?
Well, you know, this year we've been dealing with all kinds of adversity and being able to play with shorthanded players, staff, not having your starting lineup, not your leading scorer, not, you know, any number of things, and we were able to compete. So, you know, this kind of flexibility and being able to deal with adversity is, you know, something that we've just kind of built ourselves on. You know, I think, you know, with the way we've, you know, prepared ourselves through the year, I think we're ready to go here, you know, in this championship game, you know, versus Mount Vernon. I mean, it's just one of those things where all these things that we've been through is really accumulated into a pretty good little team that's faced a lot of adversity.
So in that our first half Saturday, the fouls came pretty quick or frequently, but how did your team answer back or having a couple players in foul trouble early on?
Well, you know, back to kind of what I was just saying there before about through the year not having a chance to play, you know, all the best players all the time, being forced to play other players, I think that just proved its worth. We got the, you know, the Skylar Baldwins and the Berkeley Sheltons and Ava Phillips being able to step in there and not only hold serve but actually take the lead and build into the lead there in that first half, even when we were in foul trouble. So, you know, I thought it just went to show, you know, the time and the things we've been through the year are going to pay off for us here as we continue in the postseason.
So in that semifinal game, not only winning the semifinal matchup, but that's a conference opponent that you see throughout the regular season. But how does it feel just being able to get that win on that big a stage?
Well, you know, to be able to win in the semifinals by 20 and be in foul trouble and things not go your way, you feel really good about where you're at. You know, a very similar kind of team. New Pal played Mount Vernon. Mount Vernon beat them by 20. But I'd say Mount Vernon played a really nice game. They hit a bunch of shots, and they played really good against New Pal and won by 20. And we kind of did the same thing, won by 20, but we didn't get it, you know, as easy. So if all the Pistons are firing in our direction, I kind of like what we can do.
Now, along with one of those players I mentioned, Haley Brunemer, Abby Rosecrans stepped up in Saturday night's game after not playing in that first meeting against the Lady Dragons. But how good did her play affect the team in that game?
Yeah, I mean, Abby Rosecrans is she's one of the best players we got. I mean, she just makes us better at all times. So, you know, we won that game at New Pal to go 7-0 in the conference just a few weeks earlier without her. So we felt really good about, you know, she's a plus 15 points a game kind of player. In this case, it was, you know, 17, 18 points because we won by two the first time without her, and able to win this one going away. But she just makes us better all the way around, not just scoring points, which she was able to do. What she have 16 against them, but all aspects, talking on defense, getting blockouts, having poise on offense, you know, making good decisions. She's just an all-around great player, and yeah, Manchester is going to really benefit from having her there next year.
So that will do it for the sectional first round and semifinal Lady Ravens recap. When we come back, Coach Cook will stay with us to preview tomorrow night's sectional championship against the Mount Vernon Lady Marauders. Listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.
If you're a nonprofit and need to get information out to the public, please fill out the WEEM PSA form at 917WEEM.org. Again, to provide WEEM with PSA information, fill out the PSA form at 917WEEM.org.
The Arabian Stable is your place for Pendleton Heights apparel, from shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and more. Find everything you need to show you're an Arabian fan by logging on to www.arabianstable.com. You can also find the link on the high school's website at phhs.smcsc.com or on WEEM's website, 917WEEM.org. Arabians get their gear at the Arabian Stable. Get yours today at www.arabianstable.com. That's www.arabianstable.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917
WEM. Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show. As Coach Cook still locked in with us, and we're now just taking a preview what this week has to offer. So far, just one game guaranteed, and that's the biggest game you've had all season long. Tomorrow night, the sectional championship at Mount Vernon High School as you take on the Mount Vernon Lady Marauders. But how big of a goal has that been for your team to get to that point throughout the season?
You know, when we got together that first week after fall break, and we sat down in the classroom, we tried to figure out, you know, what do we want to do this year? You know, what can we be and how good can we be and what's the ceiling look like for this team? We set the goals for, you know, winning the county and winning the conference and you know, how good we wanted to be throughout the season. But there's one goal that, you know, was the top of the list and by far and away the most important, and that was to get this sectional title. And you wouldn't expect to play against anybody else, you know, Mount Vernon on their home floor, and having a chance to get the bye. I mean, they're really got things, you know, paved the way for them to win this thing. So we're going to have to go in there and take it from them.
So not only your first sectional championship appearance here at Pendleton Heights, but also the team's first sectional or championship game appearance since 2012. So how does it feel being able to snap that long streak?
Yeah, I mean, very, very good. I mean, you look back at, you know, the 7 years I've been here, and you know, not being able to get to a championship game, you know, a lot of, you know, through those first maybe 3 years, couldn't even win our first game because of a draw or because of, you know, having some bad luck happen. So winning this thing, you know, getting to championship games, it's tough. I mean, you got to be good, but you also have to have some things go your way. You know, we're fortunate enough this year, you know, we have maybe some things not go our way, and we're still able to you know, get to this championship game. So it takes good play, but it also, you know, takes some other things too. And you know, as we get down the stretch here and have a chance to play for this championship, hopefully some things will go our way, because you know, that's the way a lot of times the ball falls, you know, it bounces off the rim a certain way, or you know, a certain thing, loose ball happens. You know, you want to take advantage of all those 50-50 chances that you get.
So, of course, one of the biggest things to point out, you mentioned it multiple times on the coaches show, You even mentioned it Saturday night for our postgame interview. Mount Vernon is the reigning Class A or Class 4A Sectional 9 champions. But what has practice been like preparing to take on Mount Vernon?
Yeah, I mean, the girls are just focused and really locked in, knowing that these guys are the reigning champs, and it doesn't matter how good we've been throughout the season. It doesn't matter how bad we beat them the first time. We know it doesn't matter how Mount Vernon played against Anderson in the semifinal matchup. None of that's going to matter come Friday or come Tuesday night in the championship game. Like, Mount Vernon is going to be playing their best basketball, and we've built that in practice. We've got these girls knowing that, you know, these shots that don't go in normally for them, they're going in on Tuesday night, and we're going to have to make it tough on them, and we're going to have to take it from them. I mean, they're holding on to that title, and they're not going to want to let go of it very easy. I know that Coach Shelton over there has got them locked in and ready to go. I expect them to be playing much better basketball than they played in that semifinal game against Anderson as they take on, you know, the Lady Arabians on that championship game night.
So, of course, since these two teams are conference rivals, this team saw the Lady Marauders back on December 4th on Mount Vernon's home floor as they won 47-36 and getting that first win over the Lady Marauders since 2017. But with that game being a tad bit closer to the beginning of the season, what should you expect from a team like Mount Vernon?
Yeah, one thing, you know, they're going to be playing with a lot of heart and a lot of passion and a lot of will to win. They're a team that plays the same defense throughout the year. They press in the same style of defense. They try to get after you in the same way, and they do a really good job on that defensive end. That makes it really tough on, you know, their opponents. So we know what we're going to be expecting from them, and we just got to be able to answer it. You look back to you know, the previous game where, yeah, we won by 11 and was up 18, and I think we were up 18 with 40 seconds to go even. But it's similar to that New Pal game. Like, the regular season is just, we don't feel real good about how that went. Like, we played that game without Kylie Lloyd, and we feel like we could have done even a better job. So, you know, we're not, you know, thinking that they're got a chance for revenge. We want revenge. Like, we want to play better. We want to be better than we were the first time, and we're excited to have a full roster against them this time and have a chance to compete for this title.
Your team was able to clinch the Madison County Championship this year as well as the Conference Championship, but what's it going to take from your Lady Arabians to be able to clinch that sectional title?
We talked about in practice today that you know, it's not going to come down to heart. It's not going to come down to effort. I mean, both sides are going to have that. It's going to come down to execution. Are we able to cut to the right spots? Are we able to make the extra pass? Are we able to get stops on the defensive end and not get in foul trouble? It's going to come down to execution, and I kind of like where we are, and I like, you know, where our minds are at. I think the girls are ready to respond and ready to get a big win tomorrow night.
Yes, tomorrow night, one of the biggest sectional championships Pendleton Heights has seen in the last couple of years. But what do you want to see out of the Pendleton Heights fans as well as the Arabian Stampede?
Listen, I've been super proud of what we've seen so far and who we've had there. But we need a packed house. We need to make that gym there in Fortville, you know, the Lady Arabians home court. We need to get everybody in the community there and all the students there getting us fired up, because that stuff matters. It makes us better. And we have loved the support we've received so far. I mean, it's really been great, and I applaud the community and all the athletes around the school and all the students in the student section have really made it a really good environment for us to play in. We're going to need them on Tuesday night, and hopefully the boys' game will get moved where the boys' team can come be a part of it. I know they're, you know, trying to get that moved with Muncie Central. So hopefully they'll be there and we'll have a rip-roaring crowd ready to go to bring home that sectional title.
Now that will do it for the sectional championship preview with Coach Cook. Coach Cook, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for covering us. We'll see you tomorrow.
So when we come back, Ian and I will wrap up the last two segments of the show talking about the wrestling regionals that were hosted here at Pendleton Heights High School, along with the recap of the past two girls' games, as well as our going in-depth girls game tomorrow night, as well as potential regional matchups. But you're listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.
It's hard to believe that in 1972, fewer than 300,000 girls played high school sports in the U.S.
It's true. Today, more than 3 million girls play high school sports, and it's all thanks to Title IX.
When Title IX passed 50 years ago, it created a level playing field for women and girls in high school athletic programs. I'm Sandra Walter, a proud Brookville Greyhound.
And I'm Carrie Rosati, a proud Roncalli Royal.
We're both assistant commissioners of the Indiana High School Athletic Association.
We're also former athletic directors, so we understand the impact that high school sports have on the lives of teenage girls
and how Title IX has paved the way for generations of female student athletes across the country, including right here in Indiana.
Playing high school sports opens doors for girls on the playing field and beyond.
We're both living proof that when girls are given the chance to play, they're given the chance to thrive.
This is empowerment. This is opportunity. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASA Coaches Show on 917 WEEM.
We welcome you back to the ASA Coaches Show here on 917 WEEM. Now, as I mentioned before we went to break, Pendleton Heights High School was the host for the state's wrestling regionals this past weekend, and the Ravens had a solid set of wrestlers competing for this weekend, starting off with a freshman, Elijah Wolf. He represented Pendleton Heights in the 113-pound class. Now, unfortunately, he fell in the first round to, of course, Cathedral High School's senior Evan Dickey, who was 33-1 on the season. But Dickey went on to take down Wolf in a little less than a minute in advance. Dickey then went on to the semifinal, took down Garen Catholic's Peter Guyon, and defeated Alexander Monroe's Isaiah Fye to take the regional crown for the 113-pound class. Now, Cathedral is a team mainly highlighted for football and basketball. They are a really just highly athletic school, but their wrestling team threw their name in the mix for the season and in the playoffs.
Yeah, Cathedral, as you mentioned, a private school down there in Indianapolis. They have a lot of talent. They won the Class 5A state championship this year in football. They have a lot of talent with their basketball program. They've been able to travel around, play some teams out of state, and have a lot of success there. But their wrestling team's one of the biggest teams they have that many people sleep on. Every year, year after year, they send multiple wrestlers to the state finals. And one of the biggest things that they like to do at celebration, if you achieve that mark to go to the state finals, is you get to wear a gold robe, kind of like their Cathedral, the Fighting Irish.
Really?
Irish are gold, so they have that gold robe they wear. You get to wear that around the ceremonial parade walk, whatever you want to call it. And if you win the state championship, you're allowed to keep it. So that gives them a little extra token to want to try to win that thing and to be able to keep that rope.
You know, that's actually pretty interesting. I never knew about that. But, you know, another wrestler to talk about, one of the three seniors is Elijah Creel, 25 for this season. He was set to take on freshman Javante Wilson of Lawrence Central. Now, Creel and Wilson put up a little bit of a fight with each other, to say the least, but Creel was able to pin him down in a little over 3 minutes to advance. And Creel met up with, once again, another Cathedral wrestler, junior Aiden Rees. Rees won their semifinal matchup and eventually went on to win another title for Cathedral. But, you know, besides the loss, it was a great season for the senior and Elijah Creel.
And definitely, as you mentioned, just being able to wrestle 20-5, that means you're winning the majority of your matches. And a loss like that against a Cathedral opponent, he fought hard. And just being able to win that first round of the season, he was able to clinch his spot at the semi-state. But overall, he's been working hard. He wrestles that lighter weight, the 113. He's been putting in the work. And he's got a big task at him when it comes to going to the Newcastle semi-state this weekend. But he's one of those wrestlers here for Pendleton Heights. He came on big last year, had a lot of success, and you're starting to see it build and grow on him as he's been working in the offseason, getting some extra time in on the mat, really being able to lock down and try to beat that goal of wrestling in state.
Creel is also a premier dual sport athlete here at Pendleton Heights, but the 126-pound class included senior Blake Nicholson, 27-4 on the season for Pendleton Heights. Blake matched up with junior Josiah Sims, 2014 of Lawrence North. Now, both wrestlers, once again, they put up a dogfight. Nicholson was able to get the pin to advance to the semifinal, taking on county rival senior Logan Flowers, 28-6 of Alexander Monroe. Now, Nicholson got the semifinal win, advanced to the championship, but sadly fell to Josh Johnson, once again, a Cathedral. So, though Nicholson got second place, that will send him to the historic Newcastle Fieldhouse for semi-state this weekend.
And Nicholson, after falling there in the regional last year, he's fought his way up, really working hard. He had a great finish there at the sectional at Elwood about 2 weeks ago. He came into Pendleton Heights on their home floor or home mats for the regional, winning his way into that championship matchup, just falling short. Cathedral, they have some top tier wrestlers, able to have or recruit some wrestlers and a lot of players in that sense. So they have a lot of talent, but to be able to compete with that and clinch your spot in the semi-state is a huge monument that puts you one step closer to reaching that state tournament. but it means he's going to have to wrestle hard this week. But Elijah Creel, Jackson Todd, as well as Blake Nicholson were in at 6 a.m. this morning, just getting in the wrestling room and just going, practicing and running drills upon drills on each other as they were able to get back in class right before school started. But they put in some extra work, really trying to put themselves over competitors when it comes to the semi-state.
And you got to love how much dedication they put into this, or they put into their sport. That just shows you how much they just love that sport.
And a lot of these players, you're talking dedication, it's a mental battle for a lot of them. Not only are you going head-to-head with some of the top competitors in the state in a very physical battle, you're corking your body into very awkward and tough motions, as well as some of these in the lower weight classes, you're really having to control what you eat. As Coach Smith was making a joke this morning about time to go get some biscuits and gravy for some of those guys. But that's not what they can do when it comes to wrestling season. You're on a strict diet, trying to stay hydrated, trying to keep your weight. You don't want to go over, because if you're over, that means you're going to have to hit the treadmill or start just running. And a lot of guys tend to layer up with hoodies and different senses of that to cut a little extra sweat, just to drop maybe a couple ounces to a couple pounds. So it's a big mindset, sacrificing some of your favorite foods. And that's something hard for me. I mean, wrestling, it's not an easy sport, but having to control what you eat just to make a weight, that's a bigger mindset than just wrestling.
Hey, now, Ian, there is one more wrestler to point out for the Ravens. You played football with this fella. It's 160-pound senior Ethan Childers, 23-9 on the season. Now, Childers had a tough matchup in that first round, set to take on junior Josh Rushenberg, 32-4, a Bishop Chartered. Now, Rushenberg defeated Childers and eventually advanced to the semifinal before falling in the championship. But once again, hats off to that senior class for another hardworking season.
And definitely, just a match like that for Ethan Childers, that first match and something, and especially in the regional, is crucial. If you win, you advance to the next round, but unfortunately he fell in that one, so was unable to wrestle his way back into a podium placement enough to clinch a spot into the semi-state there at Newcastle in this upcoming weekend. But he's been working. He goes to or other programs and like travel AAU-type wrestling teams with CIA and different clubs like that. He's been part of the Krebs Club, the local or club here at Pendleton Heights, where Coach Katie Kriebel, one of the leading coaches in that, as well as many others working. They do different styles of wrestling in the off-season, such as Greco and many others like that. But he's been working all 4 years. This was supposed to be a very big year for him, but he had a phenomenal year, although he fell up short in the regional.
Now, we would also like to point out Jack Todd, Jalen Covington, Garrett Peterson, and Sam Osney for making the regional for Pendleton Heights. Congratulations on you four guys and the rest of this Ravens wrestling team on a great season. But when we come back, Ian and I will cap off this evening's show talking about the Lady Ravens in the sectional plus potential regional matchups. You're listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.
Do you have an event you'd like to promote? Make sure to go to 917WEEM.org and click on the WEEM community calendar. There you'll find the calendar and a link to the form you will need to fill out to have your event show up on the calendar. Again, everything you need to get the word out on your event is at the WEEM community calendar. Details online at 917WEEM.org.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
The ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEM.
We welcome you back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 917 WEM. Once again, Ian and I will be closing out this evening's show discussing the Lady Ravens' two great sectional victories last week, plus a potential potential matchups for the regionals. So now, starting off with the sectional, back on Wednesday, Pendleton Heights defeated the Richmond Lady Red Devils in the first round, 64-39, and what a way to start off the sectional playoffs.
And definitely, just being able to get that first win out of the way is crucial. Really gives your team a lot of momentum there on that Wednesday. They didn't really know if they were going to actually have the game until about 4:30 that afternoon, so they decided, yeah, we're going to play it. So they got all the players to the school, loaded up the buses, had all their uniforms intact, and traveled just about 10, 15 minutes up the road there to Mount Vernon, and they locked it in as Richmond. They had a little bit longer of a bus ride, about an hour overall trip, but with the weather we had there and being extra cautious on the roads, that's a trip that could potentially be an hour and a half up to closer to 2 hours. So that's a big time difference when it comes to 15 minutes to about 2 hours.
Yeah, we were talking about that during the game and I believe on break as well with, you know, you got a team like Pendleton High School, they're only 10, 15 minutes away. And as you mentioned, Richmond, an hour. But, I mean, with the weather that came in, it's going to be, of course, a lot longer than an hour. You know, some of those players might kind of go into, like autopilot. You know, their mind might shut down for a while, but you know, if you're going into a game like a sectional, it doesn't matter if you think the game's going to get postponed or not. You got to stay locked in. You got to stay ready.
And that's what Pendleton Knights did. They stayed locked in the whole game. Although Richmond, they haven't had the greatest season throughout. They had a younger squad, as you mentioned earlier, just about three seniors on the whole team. They were very emotional after that loss. But for the rest of that young talent there at Richmond, they have a lot of potential. They'd fought the Arabians, but Pendleton Knights, they have a strong senior core with the four seniors, as well as the tough junior Whitney Warfel and the phenom there and the freshman of Casey Warfel. She's really been working throughout the season and benefiting this team. And Pendleton Knights definitely locked in and the better team in that round.
That team locked in. Now, it was a bit of a rough start in that first quarter. The score was 5-4. Richmond had that little one-point lead halfway through that first quarter. But then we talked about it multiple times. Once the Lady Ravens knocked down that first shot from deep, actually, Whitney Warfel was the player to knock down that first shot from deep. Mainly, for the majority of the year, it's been Haley Brunemer. She actually knocked down two for deep. And that really kind of changed the energy and the momentum for the Lady Ravens moving forward.
That first shot has definitely been crucial, but and the first couple of possessions, definitely rough, a couple of turnovers here and there. So the team had to find a way to get locked in, set your mind in the right place, catch your groove. And that's exactly what they did. They dished it out to Whitney Warfel off the wing, fired from deep, and had that big shot. All right, we're back in the lead. Now we can run with it. And that's exactly what we saw, because as soon as they took that lead off that three, they never looked back once, and they kept pouring it on. And it could have been a bigger victory for them, but it's a couple players in foul trouble early on, and then as well as just benching to reserve their players for that semifinal game.
Now, speaking of the Warfel sisters, the other one to point out, Casey, once Pendleton Heights got that nice big lead heading into halftime against Richmond, they started to send a little bit of the man-to-man press, also started running continuing to run that 2-3 zone defense, and she was just doing a great job of poking out that ball, trying to get steals, setting up fast break attempts, and a lot of and-one opportunities.
And Casey Warfel, she's been a player all season long. We've seen definitely strive when it comes defensively, just moving her feet with the defender, poking the ball out, and forcing a lot of turnovers. And it's not she's only just forcing turnovers. She's getting the ball in transition, taking it down the floor. Doesn't matter if it's her and a defender or just her by herself. If there's a defender in her way, she's going to find a way around them or through them, drawing a contact and being able to knock the basket. The amount of and-one opportunities she's hit this season has been incredible. And that just gives great credit to her being able to body that contact up and still finish on the shot.
Now, Pendleton Heights was not the only team in the sectional to take home a 25-point victory. New Pal, the team they played in the semifinal, defeated the Greenfield Central Lady Cougars 59-34. That same night, was earlier in the day, me and you were watching that game, or you and I were watching that game. And we came into that game knowing, you know, it's going to be a dogfight or it's going to be a scrap. Both teams are going to take jabs at each other. They're going to go back and forth, and they did just that. But except this time, Pendleton Heights did not take the game or did not have to steal the game by 2 points into overtime. It took them to win by 20 points.
But, yeah, definitely. As we were talking with Coach Cook earlier, they had Abby Rosencrantz back there in that semifinal game. That's one of their crucial players they did not have in the regular season. And as you're saying, that's a plus-minus 18 points as they won by 2 in overtime back in the regular season, but won by 20 with her here in the semifinals. But they kept the pressure on New Pal the whole game long. They even picked up the defense a little bit later in that fourth quarter in the last about a minute and a half, really coughing up a couple steals. Brunemer got it in transition, just finishing inside. And New Pal, by that point, they had already done caved in, and their season was over.
Now, taking a look at the Pendleton Heights. Now, Pendleton Heights, if they do win against Mount Vernon now, the good thing is that Pendleton Heights did get that victory on Mount Vernon's home floor. It was 47-36, so they kind of already have that knowledge in them, that experience, especially for freshmen like Casey Warfel. You know, just what to expect for from that team for tomorrow night.
They've had, you're saying right there, they've had some experience on the floor. They played a total of 3 games at Mount Vernon this season. They had 1 game against Mount Vernon back on December 4th, last Wednesday against Richmond. And of course, Saturday there against New Pals. So they have some familiar with the court overall. But some of these players, no player on the team, including all the seniors, have been in a sectional championship matchup. So that's going to be a point where they can't fold in the pressure. You have to soak it in and stay locked in the entire game and really pour it on. But for Mount Vernon, as we were talking earlier, they're the reigning sectional champions. So majority of their players have already been in that atmosphere, and they know what it's like.
Now, if Pendleton Heights does defeat Mount Vernon tomorrow night, they'll be set to take on Ben Davis. This Saturday, they'll be traveling down to Decatur Central High School. Now, this game will be played at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, a couple of things to point out about Ben Davis. Of course, Pendleton Heights wrapped up their regular season against Pike. Final score of that game was 77-71. So a team that normally gives the Lady Ravens a run for their money, they're 7-6 the past few seasons. But Ben Davis defeated Pike in triple overtime in their own sectional championship, 62-57. But also Ben Davis fell to Pike a little bit earlier in that season, 60-57. And also between that game, if they win that semifinal, they'll advance to the regional championship to take on the winner of either Lawrence North or North Central or Brownsburg and Mooresville.
And definitely just talking there, that Ben Davis game, a triple overtime. It took them an additional about 15 minutes to cap over Pike. That's a team Pendleton Heights saw in their last regular season game of the ball game of the season on their home floor, able to beat them by 5 on their home turf. So they have the advantage in that sense that they've already seen a team around Pike's level and Ben Davis. So if they can, but they have to take it one game at a time through Mount Vernon. They'll have some similarity in that Ben Davis squad. But if they make it to that second round of regionals there Saturday night, which they play that first round at 10 a.m., they will not play again until 8 o'clock that evening. So there's a lot of downtime in between those two games. If they can hopefully, and what they want to do, make it to that regional championship game, it's going to be a big task for them. But North Central, they're having a spectacular season so far, coming in here 20-5 as they've kept up with some of the top teams in the conference, such as Fishers, Noblesville, as well as Westfield. They've really given a lot of teams run for their money and a couple of big wins for them. So it's going to be a tough task if they make it through and that matchup in the regional championship.
So that will do it for this evening's show. We thank all of you for tuning in and listening to tonight's show. And we wish you all a good night. Stay safe, of course. We would also like to thank our board op back in the studio, Chloe Ertis, for spending her Monday evening with us to roll out the show. But once again, the Lady Ravens are set to take on the Mount Vernon Lady Marauders for tomorrow night's sectional championship at Mount Vernon High School in Fourville. Of course, you can catch the game here on 91.7 WEM. Tip off at 7 o'clock with our pregame show kicking off at 6:45. For Ian Stevens, I am Jacob Fessmeyer. This is the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.